Hi, it's Jamie, Progressive number one, number two employee. Leave a message at the... Hey, Jamie, it's me, Jamie. This is your daily pep talk. I know it's been rough going ever since people found out about your a cappella group, Mad Harmony, but you will bounce back. I mean, you're the guy always helping people find coverage options with the Name Your Price tool. It should be you giving me the pep talk. Now get out there, hit that high note, and take Mad Harmony all the way to nationals this year! Sorry, it's pitchy.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
They know that that's what our team is built on. You know, people want to talk about the shooting in the backcourt and all that stuff, but, you know, this has been a great defensive team for a while. Since, you know, before I got here, they were a great defensive team. So it's really been the hallmark of this club for about the last 5 years. And, you know, you've got to defend, especially in the playoffs. You've got to be able to defend because you're constantly running into great players. And so our guys understand that's the name of the game.
That audio is, of course, from head coach Steve Kerr. And I think that's a good way of starting this episode, as the Warriors won game two of the first round series against the Blazers, 110-81. And before we really get rolling, I want to tell you that this episode is brought to you by a new sponsor of Locked On Warriors, BetDSI. You can go to betdsi.eu and you can wager on games in-game or ahead of time. You can make plays throughout games and events. And if you use the promo code LOCK25, L-O-C-K for Locked On Warriors, and 25, because you get a free $25 to try the service, and you get a 200% bonus on your first deposit. So again, that's betdsi.eu, and then LOCK25 is the promo code. I'll talk more about it later on. The Warriors' defense has been a central part of their success in recent years, both under Mark Jackson and under Steve Kerr. And tonight was a really impressive example of that. It's always hard with defense to parse out what is great defense and sometimes what is offense not hitting their shots. But when a team as talented as Portland scores 12 points in a quarter, it's a lot of both. And the Warriors were spectacular in terms of making sure they weren't getting enough space for their shots, contesting, forcing turnovers, getting easy transition looks. And while Zaza Pachulia in his post-game interview with Tim Roy talked about the idea that the first quarter might be underrated in this whole thing, and I agree with him, that third quarter was pretty remarkable. So it was tied for the least points the Warriors have given up in a quarter in the shot clock era, and it was tied with something that is underrated by kind of current fans, but was absolutely pivotal at the time, which was in 1975, the Warriors were down 3-2 in their series against the Chicago Bulls in the Western Conference Finals, and then used allowing 12 points in a quarter in the fourth quarter of that Game 6 in Chicago to propel them to a Game 7 and then eventually to the NBA Championship. I am very familiar with this because it gets some attention in my upcoming book, and so it was in totally unexpected to see the Warriors match that. And a couple of ridiculous stats from that stretch. The Blazers were 6 of 22 from the field. They had two offensive rebounds, but still, you know, only scored those 12 points. And also, they had as many turnovers, 6, as they had made baskets, 6. And they only got to the line 3 times and actually missed all 3 of those because Aminu missed 2 and Vonleh missed 1. And they're both not the greatest free throw shooters, at least off the top of my head. So that quarter was also impressive because Lillard and McCollum combined for 22 minutes. McCollum sat for 2 minutes, and then the rest of it, you know, Lillard played the entire thing. And this was not a game where you expected the Warriors' dominance to be a story, because while I talked on yesterday's podcast about how Kevin Durant was questionable, how Sean Livingston was questionable, how Matt Barnes was questionable, and I personally didn't expect Durant to play in this game, it still happened that all three of them did not. And so the Warriors looked like they were going to be thin. Patrick McCaw was the starting three. They didn't really have much depth behind those guys. And then even with all of that, they still didn't need much in that fourth quarter from any of their key players. They still did get about 4 minutes from Klay and a little bit over 3 from Draymond, but those weren't really high impact minutes, so I'm not going to stress too much about that. And so the Warriors got, in this game, the best of kind of all worlds, because they were able to dominate, to dispirit Portland, and we'll see if that, you know, if that really carries over. I think that they're a strong team mentally. They've already won a playoff series, even if it was some good fortune because the Clippers guys all got hurt, but they still did do it. And they gave the Warriors a hard-fought five-game series last time, which might be the parallel to this year. Very possible. But they were able to do all that not only without Durant, Livingston, and Barnes, but without stressing their key players. McCall was the leading minute guy at 34 minutes, and none of the All-Stars played even 31 minutes. Andre Iguodala played 27, and one of the justifiably common expectations, both for myself and for many of the media members I talked with after Kerr made the announcement pregame that the aforementioned three guys weren't going to play, was, okay, this is going to be heavy minutes for Andre, heavy minutes for Patrick McCall, maybe heavy minutes for Steph and Clay for sure, and probably Draymond. None of that had to happen because they got so many strong performances overall. I think the place to start is with JaVale McGee. McGee's offense has gotten a lot of attention this year. There is a very good case to be made that JaVale is a key to some of the Warriors' best offensive lineups, not only because he can catch all those lobs, but because of something that gets talked about sometimes with DeAndre Jordan, and that's, we think about gravity. It's a term, I think Haberstroh and Kevin Pelton, one of the two, thought of it in terms of three-point shooters, and the Warriors have some of the highest gravity three-point shooters in the league. Klay Thompson, guys don't want to help off him. Steph Curry, of course, gets eyeballs and help. Roll men in pick and rolls and lob threats have gravity too. DeAndre Jordan has immense gravity on rolls to the basket. JaVale McGee does too. And so not only does he score in this game, and some of that was on lobs, he also had a crazy drop step late in the third quarter, but he draws attention because you know that if he gets open and gets that look, that it's going to be 2 points. And that actually is what happened in the second quarter. Or maybe it was the first, when I think it was the first, when Myers-Leonard was in for one possession. The first possession, they ended up getting a lob to JaVale McGee, and Terry Stotts pulled Myers-Leonard. So those sorts of things, you know, it's strange to have the guy who was originally the 15th man on the Warriors roster be a design imperative for a defense. But JaVale McGee has done that, and so you have that's been a part of his story this entire season. But the last two games in particular, but by and large over the last couple weeks, he has been far, far better defensively than he was earlier in the year. Again, you don't want to rely too much on the stats. He did have 4 block shots in this game, but he's being more active in terms of contesting, being in the right place at the right time, and that's the most important part sometimes, oftentimes, of what a center can do, is just not making mistakes, being in the right place, taking their big wingspan, putting it up in the air, making shots hard. For years, JaVale McGee has struggled with executing the schemes and fulfilling those basic responsibilities. Recently, he has been able to do that very well, and it has made a world of difference for the Warriors' defense when he is on the floor. They used to have to overcome that. You know, they had to overcome that and say, okay, well, the offense is worth the defense. The more you strengthen the defensive part of that without really weakening the offensive part of it, the easier it is to play him more. And I'm not advocating for him to start, at least not just yet, but he is providing so much more value in the minutes he plays than I think even the rosiest people ever predicted. And McGee was a part of that. Zaza Pachulia had another nice game. He was pretty stable throughout. He wasn't getting exploited as much in pick and roll defense as he was in the first game, was also distributing and actually finishing layups, which was jarring offensively. And then David West had a really nice game. Not quite at the insane defensive level he was at in the third quarter of game one, but consistent throughout, and also he continues to have this fascinating and legitimately impressive chemistry with Ian Clark. The two of those guys started on the second unit together and then eventually got kind of separated as Clark lost a spot in the rotation. And over the time that Durant was out, eventually Ian Clark got his spot back, and we saw that chemistry return. Clark is a very good natural cutter. West is a very good passer. There was even a nice give and go between those two at one point during the game. So all three of the centers played really well. Damian Jones got to get 6 minutes of action, which is also good for him. Got his first playoff point on a free throw. And it's just impressive to see the idea of strength in numbers applying to the Warrior centers, because you have to think about the resources that a lot of other teams spend on centers. It is a justifiably important position. Great guys have filled that role both in the present and in the past. You know, the Warriors' history is full of great centers. And Draymond, when he plays center, is a great center in a very, very different way than Nate Thurmond, than Wilt, than so many others. But the rest of those guys, the guys who are natural centers, who that's the only thing they're going to play, Zaza Pachulia, room mid-level exception, a little bit over $2 million. David West, making his minimum. JaVale McGee, last roster spot, making his minimum. Damian Jones, last pick in the first round, making, you know, pretty cheap money. I think he's a little less than $1 million this year. Usually a team isn't going to hit on even two of those four bets, a rookie big man, you know, minimum salary guys. And not the Warriors aren't hitting on all four of those guys every night. I wouldn't say they're hitting that much on Jones at this point. I mean, he's looking a little bit better for the future. But that is incredibly impressive and also a testament to Ron Adams. JaVale McGee, when Ethan Sherwood-Strauss asked him about his defense recently, he said, shout out Ron Adams. I agree with that. Adams has been huge for basically all these guys. He's been wonderful. Even though the Warriors did have defensive success before Adams and Kerr joined the coaching staff, he has certainly helped a lot of that and was part of the reason Kevin Durant came. So that's something else to consider. So those guys are a part of what made Game 2 interesting. Another piece was Patrick McCaw. McCaw was great in this game. He was active defensively, got a lot of different assignments, and then offensively, he was, you know, did the right thing, made the right decision at the right time, took a couple open shots, made responsible passes, was active. And the defensive end is where his bread is going to be buttered in all likelihood as a professional. If he can be a high-end defensive guy on both guard positions, maybe somebody to think about as a comparison, people use Andre Iguodala, maybe it's something like Kent Bazemore. But he's more capable offensively and can maybe do something more like what Andre has become offensively with what Bazemore does defensively. And if that is possible, that's a really good NBA player. And for what the Warriors need specifically, it's an even more valuable guy. So that will be worth watching moving forward. I thought he was excellent in this game. And he had some craft in the offense. He had one play where he had a nice kind of fake. I think it was on CJ McCollum. And Draymond Green talked about after the game, it was like the first time he saw McCaw show emotion, which is something distinct about him, is that he is very stoic in that way. But I don't think of that as a bad thing or a good thing. It's just what he is. So we'll see moving forward whether that propels McCaw into anything more. It was interesting is too strong a word. It was notable that Coach Kerr mentioned that, you know, McCaw barely played in game one when Durant was healthy and basically said, and he'll go back to that or something similar when Durant comes back. Not surprising. I mean, they have other guys ahead of him on the totem pole, especially in their perimeter rotation. But what McCaw showed in this game is that he can do it, and they can, you know, when called upon, if he's the next man up, he is capable of doing the job. And that's something we already saw from Matt Barnes during Durant's injury. We saw it from McCaw during Durant's injury. So worth watching moving forward. And of course, since he is a part of the Warriors' future, it has a little bit more resonance. And so we'll see really where he fits in. And that craft that he showed offensively is something that is going to key me into something that I want to watch in Summer League, because presumably that will be a chance for the coaching staff who is in Vegas to really work with him and see what he can become on that end. Because the Warriors, assuming he's going to be a second unit guy for most of the next year, two, three, they can use whatever offense he can provide. If he's a catch and shoot guy, they can use that. If he can handle the ball off the dribble, he can handle it on the dribble, he can do that. If he can run a pick and roll, they can use that. So we'll have to see. And they can give him that support, and being on a team that needs so little on that end could really help him, because it gives the flexibility. And I think we've seen that in Ian Clark, who had another good game, you know, not as great as his game one, where I thought his game one was his best as a Warrior, but a very nice performance from Clark, who also benefits from this idea. You know, he's probably not a pure one who thrives with the ball in his hands all the time, but the Warriors need somebody who can cut well, who can catch and shoot, and Clark can do all of that. And I think that he is a good fit for this team, good fit for the role that they eventually found for him. And that's an important part of this process. And before we move on, I want to take a quick moment to tell you about the brand new sponsor of Locked On Warriors, BetDSI. They have been in business for more than 20 years, and they're top rated on sportsbook review sites for many reasons, including their great customer service. And also, they've built a reputation on paying out their winnings fast. And I know for people who are interested in this line of entertainment, that is a very important part of the process. They also have a really good mobile product, so you can check their stuff out from anywhere. And it's a great time for that if you're interested in terms of the playoffs, whether you want to engage in activity based on the Warriors or making some of the other games more interesting. There are great contests on just about every day. And part of what makes it cool in terms of them supporting us is the way that they're doing their promotion. So you go to betdsi.eu, and then you can use the promo code LOCK25, L-O-C-K, and then the number 25. And the reason it's LOCK is for Locked On Warriors, and then the 25 is because the 25 represents a free $25 that you get just by registering. So you get $25 for free. You can do whatever you want with it. And then you also get a 200% bonus on your first deposit. So that's a really significant thing to try to get you in, and hopefully you're going to love it and you're going to keep rolling with it. But that's what you can do. So you go to betdsi.eu and then use the promo code LOCK25. You get a free $25 to work with, that $200 bonus if you want to throw more money in, and you tell them you came from us. So check it out, betdsi.eu. It's incredible to go this long without talking about either of the Splash Brothers, who are both fine. You know, Klay Thompson had arguably the biggest highlight of this game with that block over on Damian Lillard when Lillard was trying to dunk again. Didn't work again. But neither one of them was great offensively. Curry had a couple moments, including a nice kind of pull-up three in transition. I think that was in the first quarter, might have been the second. Klay struggled with his shot, but also played really good defense. And I thought Curry played far better defense than he did in game one. So they were key parts in both the 17-point first quarter and the 12-point third quarter. The Warriors get, you know, the idea that they kind of make up for Curry is overwrought in some circles, though there are games where Curry is bad defensively. But when he's consistent and executes the scheme, the most important element of his success is that he is not the weak point. He is not, you know, he's one of the points of contact. And that's more than enough for a guy who is as talented as he is offensively. And the Warriors then can use everybody else. You know, they can do a little bit less in terms of help if they need it. They can stay a little bit more zealously on their own man. And it looked like all of them executed better defensively than they did overall for game one, though they did, of course, have that huge stretch in game one. And then the last point that I wanted to talk about, because I think it could be a continuing story, both now and in the later rounds of the playoffs, especially we don't know where it's going health-wise. The second unit in that second quarter had some real trouble scoring. And they did a good job defensively, not as good as they did, you know, in a couple stretches of game one. But that could pose a problem against a more talented team. I'm thinking San Antonio's second unit. Houston has a ton of offense on their second unit. And it's entirely possible that the coaching staff is going to remedy that by using very different combinations of players when they're ready to rely more on Steph, ready to rely more on Klay and Draymond and Kevin Durant, assuming he comes back and is healthy. Because that unit needs, they can thrive defensively. They can do some really good stuff, just like, as I said, the fourth quarter of game one. But offensively, it can get really stagnant. It can get really still because Draymond and Andre and Clark can all create a little bit, but they're not really that kind of guy. You know, Steph Curry's as a pick and roll guy, and that's part of why they wanted to use Durant in those lineups and why they actually started that way. So sometimes that is really going to work. You know, if they are playing great defensively, if they're all on a string, then either they can hold it even or they can go on a little bit of run. They kind of did both of those in game one. But the feedback loop can run the other way, where they struggle too much offensively, then they're giving up transition points, which are harder for that group to prevent, and then it all kind of sinks together. And I think we saw a little bit of that in the second quarter. It's not going to be a major thing in most games, but there could be a contest or two, especially one of import, you know, assuming the Warriors get challenged at some point during this playoff run. I do want to see where that goes and whether that's something that continues, because it is a real challenge for them if those units can't score. So I think that's kind of the whole thing here. Amazing that they were able to score 110 points, able to win, and while, yeah, those guys didn't play in the fourth quarter, but Draymond scored one basket, 6 points. Klay Thompson, 6 of 17 from the field. Steph Curry, 6 of 18 from the field, 4 of 12 from three. And they still won going away, 110-81, a game that was totally over by the end of the third quarter against a very game Portland team. And yeah, a couple of guys on their team, including their two stars, played worse than they often do. A lot of that credit should go to the Warriors. Some of it is just luck. You know, it's the way it always is. But I also thought that Al-Farouq Aminu, Mo Harkless, those guys, by and large, played better than they did in game one. So this wasn't a wasted effort like the dominant performances that Lillard and CJ had in game one, but it is still notable in that way, that this was not a worst-case scenario for Portland. It was on the bottom end, but it wasn't a worst-case scenario. And I'm wondering how this success is going to affect the way the coaching staff handles Durant moving forward. Caution is the name of the game no matter what, when you have the expectations that the Warriors do. But maybe that tenor gets even a little bit stronger with the idea that losing game three, or even, you know, we now know that the possibility of playing without Kevin Durant is not death for this team. It is not imminent, you know, problems for this team. So maybe they're a little bit more bold about it. And with muscle injuries, it's always better to wait, be patient, not push it, because pushing it can lead to a worse issue. And that's why I always urge patience and caution and all of that with those. So maybe it goes in that direction. And it's possible with, you know, another long break, not playing again until Saturday, that the time will also open up the door for maybe one or both of Sean Livingston and Matt Barnes to come back. Who knows? So if that happens, then that makes it even more palatable to sit Durant. So a little bit of time to sit and ruminate and all that kind of stuff. And yeah, this was a very impressive game. This was one that was striking to me just in terms of the overall context and the expectations going in. Yeah, the Warriors are favored in just about every game they're going to play during the playoffs, but they had some real structural disadvantages in this game and completely overcame it, played an absolutely excellent game. So that's enough for now. I will have another new podcast, barring something shocking, tomorrow on stuff. Might do a mailbag, not entirely sure yet. Still working on what I want to do and when I'm going to record it. And then also, for those of you who are interested in my talking about the Warriors, not only are Nate, Duncan, and I going to do that for Dunked On Basketball Podcast, which will be out shortly after this one. Most of you listen to this in the morning on Thursday. It'll already be out by then. And also, it will be a part of the episode I do for Real Jam Radio. The tentative plan is that I'm going to record that tomorrow morning Pacific time. So the hope is that that will be out for your evening commute tomorrow. For those of you who don't subscribe, Real Jam Radio is my weekly podcast that I do for Real GM, which is more long interviews, like an hour, hour and a half. It's probably going to be an hour this time. So you can check that out as well. If you have any feedback, good, bad, or indifferent, DannyLarueNBA@gmail.com, @DannyLarue on Twitter. If you take the time to write it, I will take the time to read it. I do not promise that I will respond the way I try, but I don't promise that. And then you can also support the show by leaving a rating, leaving a review in the podcast player of your choosing. And you can also subscribe and download every episode. Those are great things to do for this show and for any other ones that you like, because that makes a world of difference for advertisers and everything else. And then, of course, the other thing you can do as to support the show is check out our sponsors. For this episode, it is the new sponsor, BetDSI. And so their website is betdsi.eu. And the promo code is LOCK25, LOCK25 for Locked On Warriors. And the reason it's 25 is because you get $25 free to try the service just for registering. And then you also get a 200% bonus on your first deposit. It's a way that you can make in-game wagers, play throughout the game and the event. If you're interested in the Warriors, if that's something you like to do, it's a great way to check it out. So you can do that. It supports the show. And for those of you who are going to enjoy that sort of thing anyway, great way to do it. Thanks again to listening. Thanks again for listening. I can speak. Take care and make it a great day.
Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
It's Ace's biggest LED light bulb sale of the year. Right now, buy one, get one free on our best-selling LED light bulbs. Our 4-pack of LED bulbs is $9.99, and our 2-pack of LED floodlights is only $12.99. Buy one, get one free. There's no limit on how much you can save, so stock up now. Hurry in. Buy one, get one free on long-lasting 10-year LED bulbs, now through Monday, only at your neighborhood Ace. See participating stores for details.